الذين يعقلون, that is those who use their minds. And the Quran is studded with lots of such calls and descriptions. And today we would like to survey the implications of such a characterization for الَّذِينَ يَعْقِلُونَ, those who use their minds, in the Quran. يَعْقِلُونَ comes from the word عقل, عقل, the mind. And this came in the Quran 49 times. Another word, probably the same meaning, is يَفْقَهُونَ, those who understand. And this came in the Quran 20 times. Another word, same meaning, فكر, يتفكرون, thought and thinking. And this came 18 times in the Quran. Another word is ulul albab, those of albab means those with the mind. Another word, same meaning, is al-fu'ad. Al-fu'ad came in the Quran, sometimes meaning the heart, and sometimes meaning the faculty of thinking and comprehension. Another word, same meaning, yatadabbarun. Yatadabbar means to reflect, to scrutinize, to ponder about. Another word is an-nuha. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَاتِ يُوِنُّهَا, those who have the brains. So these are different words with slight shades of difference in the meaning, but all focusing on the same thing. And all in all, they were mentioned in the Quran 137 times. But an interesting point is that of those 137, 84 came in the Makki Quran, although the Makki Quran occupies one third of the Mus'haf, whereas only 53 times they were mentioned in the Madani Quran, although the Madani Quran occupies about two thirds of the Quran. And it is obvious that there is a special concentration of this meaning, using the mind, in the Makki Quran. And why is that? Because whereas the Madani Quran was mainly the Quran of legislation and regulation, the Makki Quran was the Quran of aqidah, of belief, of creed. And since in Islam the creed is not a dogma, then it has to be established on the basis of thinking and using the mind. We shouldn't teach our children God is there and this is a dogma, you have just to accept it. But it has to be based on thinking. And every the time the Quran says الَّذِينَ يَعْقِلُونَ الَّذِينَ يَعْقِلُونَ, it says if you use your mind you will arrive at the creed of Islam. As a matter of fact, the Sharia of Islam, which is the total address by Allah to the Muslims, is said to derive from two sources, the Quran and the Sunnah, and is said to be targeted at the fulfillment of five main goals, which are called the Maqasid, Maqasid al-Sharia. And the five famous goals of the Sharia are the protection and preservation of life, including health, including birth, anything that deals with life. Number two, protection and preservation of religion. Number three, the protection and the preservation of the mind, and number four, ownership, and number five, family. And so, to make the mind one of the principal five goals of the Sharia should alert us to the significance and importance of using the mind. And why is that? For several reasons. To start with, it is through the mind that we knew God. It is not, boy, there is God, he is called Allah. You have to believe this. And the Quran tells us about our great grandfather Ibrahim and how he found Allah. The verse that says, وكذلك نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض وليكون من الموقنين. We show Ibrahim the kingdom of heavens and earth in order to be certain in his belief. And the verse continues, when it was night time, he looked at the stars, and being disillusioned by the idols his people were worshipping, he said, we cannot worship the idols because we make the statues and we worship them. No, I cannot worship a god which I made by my hand. And so he considered the star for godhood. And when the star set, he said, no, it's set, it is weak. And so he considered the moon after that, but when it set, he said, no, it's set. And he said, must be the sun then. This is greater. This must be what? But the sun also set. And then he asked himself the question, whether it is the star, the moon, or the sun, or the heavens and the earth, they are all obedient to certain laws. Who set those laws? And then he came to the conclusion that the Creator is the one beyond the creation. And this is how we introduce God to our children. Is there God? Yes, mommy says so. But is this your book? Yes. Who wrote it? And he reads the name of the author. And you propose to him or her, suppose we remove this page, the front cover, and suggest to you that this book has written itself by itself without a writer. And it is impossible, and it becomes a matter of logic that if a book is proof of a writer, creation is proof of the creator. It is an intellectual process by utilizing the mind. As a matter of fact, the more people decipher the creation and find the secrets of science, etc., etc., the more they should adore the creator and be impressed by his ability, unless there is some kind of blindness there. And the Quran tells us that it is not necessary that blindness is the blinds of the eyes, but it can be the blinds of the hearts in the chests. Even simple people, it doesn't need great education or sophistication to find God with your mind. In very early times, the times of the Prophet, non-educated people, and one of the Arabs said, "Al-ba'ratu tadullu 'ala al-ba'ir, wal-atharu yadullu 'ala al-masir." Very crude similitude, but this means camels' droppings prove that camels were here, and the footprints prove that someone was walking here. And through this, he concluded there must be God. We know him by looking at his creation. As a matter of fact, in my youth, looking up the dictionary for a word, it occurred to me that if someone proposed to me that the dictionary was so arranged following an explosion in a printer's shop, after which all the letters just were thrown up high in the sky and fell down, and by chance when they fell down, they were found so arranged in the way they are in the dictionary. And you can't swallow it. No mind can accept it. Something that carries the making should have a maker, and therefore God is. God has certain names in different languages. In Arabic it is Allah, in Hebrew it is Elohim, in French it is Dieu, in Latin it is Theos, in Persian it is Khoda. But the English language is one of the poor languages. It doesn't have a name for the Creator, and all they do is write God, but with a capital G at the beginning to denote Him. If there is God, let us use our mind again, He must be the greatest, He must be the largest, He must be the most able, He must be the unlimited. No one is more than Him in any respect. No one before Him, no one after Him, no one so obvious, no one so hidden, as the Quran says, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. And this is the feature of the creation, of the Creator. And asking ourselves the question, use our minds, well, there is a Creator, so what? And the answer comes that if there is a Creator, let us ponder on His creation, and we find that we human beings are unique. Because we are endowed with knowledge, with a concept of good and evil, with the freedom to choose, and therefore with the accountability for our choices. So other creatures are programmed to do what they do. May be programmed by physical laws, chemical laws, or even biological laws. But they respond to their program. We don't respond to our program. We have the same instincts, inclinations, and feelings, and desires as the animals. But we don't just respond. We have the knowledge. We balance good and evil. We are free to choose to do this is that. For that, and therefore we are accountable. And this is the nobility of humanity, because we are the only species who are debating with ourselves and making choices, and maybe if necessary restraining ourselves and controlling ourselves. And since we are accountable, Allah would love to see us pass this test of accountability. He gave us the autonomy. We are free to choose. But He would love to see us pass the test. And the way is to keep in touch. To always remind us of Him, of His code of good and evil, and of the inevitability of accountability. And the way to keep us reminded is to choose. It's a chain of messengers and the prophets all over human history. And of course, we see that some of us live in evil and die. Did they get away with it? No. There must be accountability. It is part of us. It is the way in a universe which is built on very delicate balancing. Slightest imbalance would lead to a cosmic catastrophe. Or if people lived in evil and died, and people lived for the truth and die, and this is the end of it, this would be against the balancing. This would be the wastage of the concept of accountability. So there must be a life after this life, when we stand accountable for what we did in this life. And of course, to contact the messengers and the prophets, Allah used several ways, one of which is to send angels to them, to record our doings in this life. There is probably a system of angels that watch us and record, etc. And finally, we know that our choices are not absolute. There are certain things that happen to us or around us which are beyond our choices and for which we shall not be accountable, and which we should accept as part of God's plan, even if we don't understand them, and even if sometimes they are painful. And this is what we call al-qadr, fate, and just we have to accept them. If you review what I've been telling you so far on purely intellectual grounds, you would have noticed that what I said constitutes the six articles of faith in Islam. You know what they are? As Angel Gabriel went to the Prophet and asked him, tell me what is faith? And he said, to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the afterlife, and the fate, whether pleasing or displeasing. And we memorize this by heart. But even if you leave your heart aside and consider it on the basis الَّذِينَ يَعْقِلُونَ, using your mind will lead you to the articles of faith in Islam. So it is by عقل that we know there is Allah. Again, the mind, number two, is the interface between us and Allah. Because Allah tells us, do this, don't do that. If I don't have a mind, I wouldn't be able to understand. And therefore, one of the Islamic principles is, where there is no mind, there is no taklif, no obligation. And when someone is insane or mad, we don't say, oh, you did good or did evil, etc. He doesn't know, there is no mind. Because it is the presence of a mind that gives me the eligibility for accountability. Number three, the mind is the instrument of pursuit of knowledge. And we know that Islam makes the pursuit of knowledge an obligation over humanity, men and women. And we know that Allah gave us the book of Quran. But the book of Quran tells us to read the other book, which is the book of the universe. And the Quran exhorts us, don't they look, don't they see, don't they think? An example would be, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. Biology and geology, don't they think about the camels, how they were created? Don't they think about the heavens and how they were raised? Don't they think about the mountains and how they were erected? Don't they think about the earth and how it was extended? And all this is challenging the human mind to do the thing that we now call scientific research and the pursuit of knowledge. And the Prophet said, pursue knowledge even if you have to travel for China. At the time, China wasn't the place to seek religious knowledge. And this means that any knowledge and all knowledge has to be sought. The Quran says, let man ponder how he was created. He was created from a surging water that comes out from between the ribs and the backbone. And it took centuries to realize that this was the angle where the sex glands formed and then migrated down to stop in the pelvis in the form of ovaries, or to descend further to the scrotum in the form of testicles. embryology now tells us that the origination of the sex glands is the angle between the ribs and the backbone. ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به ثمرات مختلفا ألوانها. Didn't you see that Allah sent water from the sky and brought out through it various fruits with different colors? ومن الجبال and of the mountains there are tracks that are white and there are others that are intense black. ومن الناس والدواب والأنعام مختلف ألوانه كذلك. Out of people and beasts and cattle you get also creatures with different hues and different colors. And then the Quran says إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. Out of his servants the learned fear him most. The learned means those who use the mind and have achieved something through the use of the mind. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. We have created the insan, the human being, out of a descendants made of clay, dust, earth. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. And we made him a nutfa, a sticky material, in a hidden place, in a secure place. At the time, the Arabs knew nothing about the sperm and ovum and going to implant in the uterus. It was not known. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا نُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. Out of this material formed by the fusion of a male element and the female element, it became a عَلَقَةً. عَلَقَةً means something that attaches itself. You know the leech worms that were used to put here to suck out material, they stick. And this is what happens to the fertilized ovum. It grows, forms a cyst that sticks to the wall of the uterus. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. After that, inside this cyst, a certain disc is formed that will be the embryo. And this looks like a lump of wood that has been chewed. It is corrugated like that. When you have chewing gum, you chew at it and look at it, you find it is bossy and corrugated, etc. And the Quran says that the cyst will transform into this mudra, the chewing food. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا. This mudra will exhibit the structure of the bone. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And we clothed the bones with the flesh. This is embryology, and it wasn't known at the time of the Prophet. It is known in our century and the part of the century before. But it exhorts the human mind. Think, discover, find, use your mind. And that is why the Quran says to the Prophet, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. And the Quran says, are they equal, those who know and those who don't? Again, the mind, عقل, is one of the sources of the Sharia. Sources of the Sharia are the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. But how about issues that were not mentioned in the Quran and were not mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet? And here Islam teaches us, use your mind. The Prophet sends Mu'adh to Yemen to teach them Islam and asks him, how are you going to rule for them and teach them? And he said, I look in the book of Allah. And the Prophet asks him, suppose it is something you do not find in the book of Allah. And he says, I look in the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah. And the Prophet says, suppose it is something that also is not present in the Sunnah. And he say, I do my best using my mind and thinking, and I conserve no effort in thinking about it. And the Prophet said, Alhamdulillah, that guided the messenger of the Prophet to what pleases the messenger of Allah. One such thing that is not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, there are many that we have to work out with the use of our mind, and that is the chapter in Sharia that is called Ijtihad. Is that, for example, we know that the Quran prohibited the drink of alcohol, and the reason for prohibiting the drink of alcohol is it stops the mind, it corrupts the mind. And the Sunnah, of course, prohibits the drinking of alcohol, but there is no mention in the Quran or the Sunnah about cocaine or heroin. No mention. Does that mean we use them? If we do, we are out of our mind. But through the use of the mind, we know that alcohol was prohibited because it's deleterious effect on the mind. So anything that has a similar deleterious effect on the mind should be haram by the Sharia also. And this behooves Muslims to keep using their mind all the time, to keep abreast. The Sharia can never be old, can never be unfit for certain places or certain times. Then we use our mind to differentiate between what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. A horse comes into this room, it feels the urge to urinate. Do you think it will ask you where is the restroom? No, it is programmed. It feels, it does. It feels, it responds. But if one of you comes in and does it, same urge, same feeling, same biology, but they will be to blame, because we are supposed to discriminate what we should do from what we shouldn't. And this is a function of our mind. I remember the news of a man who tailored for himself the suit of Superman. And he was a man who took drugs. And under the influence, he went to the top of a high building and imagined he was Superman. And jumped and died. What was out of function here? The mind. And therefore we cannot live our correct life without the mind. And therefore, we owe our minds two things. The one is to protect them. We are the sine qua non of humanity in us, or else we'd be animals. And so it is our duty to protect the minds from drink, from drugs, from censorship. No one should tell people don't think of that or don't pursue that, as happened in European history, when the religious authorities really obstructed any progress of science and research. No, in Islam the mind should be protected from that, from censorship. It should be protected from brainwashing by immoral stimuli, like what the media does today. It is a continuous bombardment, and the human mind is suggestible. It is not suggestion proof. Hypnosis is a continuous repetitive stimulus that leads you into hypnosis. The industry of propaganda is based on suggestibility. Why do they have commercials on TV? Because you see the same thing all the time. You go and buy it. suggestibility. You see in the media what I didn't used to see when I was a younger person. The most we could see at the movies was the hero kissing the heroine, and at the time I looked at the floor. But now television is in our rooms, invasion, and our children see men and women in bed. So this is suggestibility. And the tidal campaign for free sex, for homosexuality, etc., 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 this is playing on the feature of suggestibility.